The U.S. imposes new border crossing rules on private aircraft. An amphibious tour plane is down in Canada. And Delta partners with Alaska Air to get even bigger. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, November 18th, 2008. Flying a private aircraft into or out of the United States just got more complicated. The U.S. Customs and Border Protection Agency has enacted new rules which parallel those for commercial aircraft and will standardize advance notice procedures for all airports of entry. Pilots or their designees will be required to submit advance notice and occupant manifest information to the CBP digitally, no later than 60 minutes prior to departure. Earlier requirements could be satisfied through calling ahead by radio or by making a notation in a flight plan asking the FAA to notify customs. Among the general aviation advocacy groups which fought the new requirements, the Experimental Aircraft Association had complained that there are remote areas within an hour of the U.S. border, accessible by aircraft, but devoid of internet coverage. The agency responds that it is, quote, working to strengthen general aviation security by further minimizing the vulnerability of general aviation flights being used to divert illicit materials, transport dangerous individuals, or employ the aircraft as a weapon, unquote. Seven people died aboard a Grumman Goose Sunday when the amphibian crashed off the coast of British Columbia. One passenger survived the crash and fire. The Canadian press reports the Pacific Coastal Airlines flight was reported missing Sunday morning. The Vancouver Sun adds the plane was en route from Vancouver to Powell River and then to a hydroelectric power worksite at Toba Inlet. Search crews found the wreckage about 2:15 p.m. Pacific time on South Thornbury Island. That's a remote island west of the Sunshine Coast. Their search was made more difficult by mist and low clouds over the island. It's too early to know if weather was a factor in the accident. Responders noticed the plane had cut a wide swath through a wooded area with widespread debris and fires, then were stunned when a man suffering from burns and cuts walked toward them wrapped in a yellow sheet waving his arms. The unidentified 35-year-old man was transported to a nearby hospital at Half Moon Bay. On the way, he reportedly told authorities he'd been napping when the plane crashed and believed he had been knocked out for several minutes after impact. He awoke in time to hear the wreckage burst into flames. The accident is the second one this year for Pacific Coastal Airlines, a family-run charter operation. In August, five people were killed when another goose crashed on Vancouver Island. That investigation is not yet complete. Just when it looked like a combined Delta and Northwest Airlines was as big as it could get, on Monday, Delta CEO Richard Anderson joined Bill Ayer, CEO of Alaska Airlines, in announcing an agreement in principle to expand the marketing agreement between both carriers to make the airline's preferred alliance partners on the West Coast. Delta says the amended agreement will benefit customers through supporting the launch of new Delta long-haul Trans-Pacific and Latin American routes from the West Coast, expanded connecting opportunities to and from Alaska Airlines and Horizon Air hubs and focus cities, and enhanced worldwide frequent flyer and lounge reciprocity agreements between Delta and Alaska. Industry analysts say the alliance will offer many of the advantages of a merger without the headaches. Avadyne Corporation announced on Monday it has shipped its first production versions of the new MLX-770 two-way data link transceiver, which received FAA technical standard order approval earlier this month. The company adds it remains on schedule to obtain European and FAA STC approvals for composite, metal, and pressurized aircraft. Alec Vincent of RGV Aviation in Gloucestershire, UK, is excited. Quote, there's a huge installed base of Avadyne Integra-equipped Cirrus aircraft here in Europe, and we're delighted to be able to offer this as an upgrade for all of our Cirrus customers. We're working closely with Avadyne on the certification efforts and already have a large number of aircraft booked for installation, unquote. The MLX-770 is intended to bring affordable and comprehensive worldwide data link weather services to the general aviation market using the Iridium satellite network and targeting Avadyne's large installed base. Up next on ANN, the credit crunch may delay Atlanta's new terminal. Three big airports add runways in time for the holiday crunch. And an SR-22 is missing over the English Channel. You're listening to Aero News.
Okay. Right up front, let me say that Garmin does not give tax advice. We have lawyers who cringe at the very thought of suggesting there might be tax advantages to buying a new Garmin avionics system this year.
Did he say tax advantages? Could that be construed as tax advice, either express or implied?
Yeah, like I said, lawyers. So I guess I won't be telling you that this year Congress is offering special bonus depreciation up to 50% in year one for qualified business equipment placed in service during 2008. Business equipment like, say, a new Garmin avionics stack. But you didn't hear that from me, right?
What did he just say?
Okay, better check with your tax consultant for guidance and your Garmin dealer for the installation. Garmin. Follow the leader.
See your tax advisor for guidance.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for November 18th. I'm Paul Platt. In a stark sign of just how dried up the credit markets are, construction of a new terminal for Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport is in danger of being suspended because no investors are stepping up to buy the $600 million in municipal bonds, despite the airport's A-plus debt rating. ATL General Manager Ben DaCosta says federal aid may be the last chance to keep the project moving forward and avoid laying off 300 construction personnel. Quote, investors are not interested in our debt. I have money already out there with people working, and if it doesn't look like we can go to market, I would have to determine which parts of the project could continue and which can't, unquote. Just in time for the Thanksgiving holiday weekend travel peak, USA Today reports three large U.S. commercial airports are all scheduled to bring new runway capacity online this Thursday. In the Pacific Northwest, where poor visibility is a threat much of the year, Seattle-Tacoma International Airport has struggled for years with two parallel runways which are too close together to allow simultaneous approaches at minimums. A new 8,500-foot, 1-6 right, 3-4 left west runway will solve that problem. The runway cost over $1 billion to build and required the acquisition and demolition of more than 400 houses. SeaTac historically sees low clouds 44% of the time. In Chicago, O'Hare International's controversial 6th runway will open, despite questions surrounding how to fund $15 billion in associated improvements during a down economy. The 7,500-foot runway is the first new runway there since 1971. Along with its new dedicated bad weather control tower, the new runway is projected to reduce delays during times of poor visibility from the current average of 24 minutes to 16. The runway and tower cost $460 million. Mayor Richard Daley's vision for the airport expansion also includes a new terminal and other improvements, which he hopes to get funded in time for the 2016 Summer Olympics, which the city has bid to host. Washington Dulles will debut a new 9,400-foot, 1-left, 1-9-right, which gives the airport the capability to handle 3 incoming flights or takeoffs simultaneously. It's the airport's 4th runway and was built at a cost of $355 million. French search crews are working to locate any sign of a Cirrus SR-22 that went missing Sunday night during an English Channel crossing. AFP News reports the plane departed Kent in the UK about 6 p.m. local time, with just a British pilot on board. Controllers lost contact about 14 miles from the French post of Cherbourg. French maritime police spokesman Yann Bizien says neither wreckage nor the pilot have been found. Quote, clearly the longer the search goes on, the more worries we have for the safety of the pilot. It is unlikely even a strong person could survive more than 9 hours in the water, and a weaker person could perish in 3 hours, unquote. The Australian Transport Safety Bureau said Friday it will investigate whether communication signals from Harold E. Holt Naval Communications Base in Western Australia may have caused interference with flight control systems aboard a Qantas airliner last month. Base manager Russell Levian expressed skepticism, quote, we'd have planes down all around us if it was us, unquote. The incident occurred about 100 miles from Holt Naval Base, which communicates with U.S. and Australian submarines in the area using radio frequencies far lower than those used by aircraft. The Qantas flight was en route from Singapore to Perth on October 7th when the plane made a 300-foot uncommanded ascent, followed by an abrupt 350-foot nosedive. 70 occupants of the plane were injured, 14 of them seriously. Still ahead, watch your mailbox for a free safety course. The F-35 breaks the sound barrier for the first time. And college students set a new fuel cell flight endurance record. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, November 18th. I'm Paul Plack. The Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association's Air Safety Foundation believes that stall spin accidents happen because of lapses in understanding why an aircraft flies, and more importantly, when and why it stops flying. To address this perennial common cause of fatal accidents, ASF is mailing CDs containing its online course called Essential Aerodynamics, Stalls, Spins, and Safety. It's coming to 180,000 pilots, both members and non-members of AOPA. The snail mail delivery is being used to reach pilots for whom the association has no email address. Bruce Landsberg, executive director of the Air Safety Foundation, calls the unprecedented outreach campaign a way to address one of aviation's greatest challenges. Quote, "It's the people who are not routinely continuing their pilot education who could probably benefit the most from our online courses. So we're not waiting for them to come to us. We're putting the course right in their mailboxes," unquote. Essential Aerodynamics provides need-to-know concepts for avoiding maneuvering accidents. It explains the basics of what happens when a pilot moves a control and when and how those control movements could potentially lead to trouble. If you don't get one by mail, the course is available free of charge at www.asf.org. It's right there on the first page. Lockheed Martin reports its F-35 Joint Strike Fighter flew at supersonic speeds for the first time last week, accelerating to Mach 1.05, or about 680 miles per hour, during testing on November 13th. Lockheed says the test was accomplished with a full internal load of dummy weapons on a one-hour flight. John Beasley, Lockheed Martin's chief F-35 test pilot, commented, quote, "I continue to be impressed with the aircraft's power and strong acceleration, and I'm pleased that its precise handling qualities are retained in supersonic flight, even with a payload of 5,400 pounds in the weapons bays," unquote. The supersonic milestone came on the 69th flight of F-35 aircraft AA-1. Beasley climbed to 30,000 feet and accelerated to the sound barrier over a rural area in North Texas. There were four separate transitions through the sound barrier, and the plane spent a total of 8 minutes in supersonic flight. Future testing will gradually expand the flight envelope out to the aircraft's top speed of Mach 1.6. Frontier Airlines filed third-quarter financials Friday with the Securities and Exchange Commission, accompanied by the unfortunate footnote that the information had already been available in filings with the court overseeing its Chapter 11 bankruptcy, which was filed back in April. Frontier reported an operating loss of $5.8 million and a consolidated net loss of $30.4 million for the quarter ending September 30th. $16.6 million was attributed to reorganization costs. Ironically, the company notes its operating loss and operating margin are still among the best in the industry. Among the highlights, year-to-year fuel costs for the quarter rose more than $70 million. That's up 72.6%. They have dropped appreciably since the end of the quarter. Frontier notes its cost per available seat mile, excluding fuel, was the lowest in Frontier's history and nearly 10% below last year's third quarter. Frontier President and CEO Sean Menke summed it up, quote, "Losses are never acceptable, but we can point to progress in our restructuring efforts. Our company continues to execute to its business plan and will use that momentum as we plan our emergence from bankruptcy," unquote. And finally, the endurance record for a fuel cell-powered aircraft of about 9 hours, set by a California engineering company, has now been beaten. The new champion is a group of college kids with a $2,500 cash budget and some donated fuel cells. In late October, the University of Michigan undergrads flew Endurance, their 12-pound radio-controlled UAV with its 8-foot wingspan, for 10 hours and 16 minutes at an average speed of about 99 miles per hour. The flight was conducted in a field in Milan, about 20 miles south of Ann Arbor, Michigan. The project, called Solar Bubbles, was chaired by engineering senior Nick Rooney, who says the flight could have gone another 5 hours before the craft's propane fuel was exhausted, but the flight was cut short due to lack of lighting and navigation equipment required for operating at night. His group hopes to try for a 24-hour flight later on. The Michigan Daily reports the students were attracted to the project by the chance to play a role in the development of alternative energy sources. The fuel cells were provided by Adaptive Materials, a company based in Ann Arbor, after a fuel cell engineer and Michigan alumnus, Nick Sheps, convinced the company the record attempt would be a good test. Quote, "We have some other military contracts for testing it with, but we thought this would be a great opportunity to collaborate with the university and bring some students into the mix and see what we can accomplish," unquote. Sheps added that unmanned aerial vehicles are a great testing platform because the results are so definitive. Quote, "If you don't have enough power, the plane falls out of the air. There's no question to how it's performing," unquote. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, ANN's Jim Campbell talks with Alan Klapmeyer of Cirrus Design about general aviation's future and what's needed to reverse the recent hiccup in sales numbers. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.